not try and bend the spoon. Only try to realize the truth. There is no spoon.
Cool J is hard as battle anybody. I don't care who you. I expect they all.
Pumping that podcast wattage in your cottage. Fill your business and free your mind. I know. Coming to you live and direct from Des Moines, Iowa, the greatest city in the universe. See your host, yeah, Justin Wise. Blood clot. No spoon to the flipping world. Justin, running.
You're a cougar scene now.
Pumping that podcast wattage, coming to you from Des Moines, Iowa, the greatest city in the universe. It's Think Digital. Justin Wise here with you. I am the captain on this good ship. Welcome aboard. Today's topic, how to set crystal clear expectations with your clients. How to set crystal clear expectations with your clients. You know, 9 times out of 10, disagreements with clients arise from unclear communication or unclear expectations. You know, when we were back in the day, really working with a large volume of clients, what I learned was, you know, reasonable people, when you bring them results, I thought anyway that, hey, just bring people results and everything will take care of itself. And for some people, that's absolutely true. But for most of our clients, what I found was that there's an area that's just as important as results. And as I've kind of already alluded to, that starts with communication, clear expectations. So much so that I ended up creating a training out of this called The Perfect Landing. In fact, today's show is borrowed directly from that training. Only difference is I'm going to be telling you about it. In our Perfect Landing training, clients actually have the scripts. They have the slide decks. They have the email templates for what I'm about to show you, or share with you rather. But the flow is still the same. If you really want to, you can take the information in today's podcast and, you know, build this right into your business. If you want the heavy lifting done for you, Perfect Landing training might be a good option. But what I've discovered are 5 key areas of clarity that you need to be very specific on when you start working with clients. Not in the middle, but when you start. And if you have not been clear with clients in these 5 key areas, then there's no better time than the present to get clear with them. Because if left unaddressed, clients will fill the void with their own expectations, whether they're reasonable or not. But if you address them ahead of time, you take the lead, you set the tone, you drive the ship. And that is the key to a good client relationship, is you being the leader. That is what your clients are paying you for, is for you to lead. That doesn't mean you dominate. That doesn't mean you go on some power trip. It simply means that you do what they're paying you to do, which is take the lead. And so here are the 5 key areas of clarity. We're going to go through them, and then we're going to be done. Then you're going to go do them. How about that? Catch me outside. How about that? Area number 1, what you are doing for them. Get clear on what you are doing for them. Spell it out in as few words as possible. This is not a contract. This simply spells out what you will be spending your time doing for the client. Get granular without being verbose. So, for instance, for our paid traffic clients, our private paid traffic clients, we spell out for them, we will be copywriting your Facebook ads. Or you could include, if you're a coach, you could say, we're going to coach for X amount of hours per month. If you're a graphic designer, you would say, we are going to design 10 images for you per week, per month, whatever. Think of having to communicate what you do to a 9-year-old. Now, this is not to say your clients are not intelligent. This is not to say your clients are stupid, that they even need you to communicate to them like a 9-year-old. This is more for you. I know that if I can't communicate to my 9-year-old son what I do for clients, then I don't understand it well enough, and I need to go back to the drawing board. And this exercise is profoundly humbling when simplifying your communication. You know, we like to think that what we do is more complicated than it actually is. And if you're working with clients, you know, chances are you're specializing in a specific area. And I got to tell you, it's really not that complicated. And your clients don't want it to be complicated. They just simply want to know what you are going to be doing for them. So make it very clear. Now, I should back up. There's some context here. You know, the way that we set this up for our clients is that they go through a process. So we talk with them. They say, hey, what you're doing, either from a consulting perspective or from a page lead generation perspective, hey, that sounds great. Then we move them through our what we call perfect landing sequence. And like I mentioned, we have a whole training on this, but that's not the point of this podcast. The point of the show today is just to tell you what's in that training. But for us, this happens through the context of an automated process. So from start to finish, after we talk to them, they go through an entire process that is automated that covers these 5 areas of clarity and communication. And we do this through email. We do this through trainings. We have our clients actually go through trainings, and we do this through automated document signing. We use a web app called HelloSign. So I should have said that up front. But all of this, the 5 areas of clarity for us, they all happen automatically through an automated process using those tools that I just mentioned. So for instance, the category that I just explained to you, spelling out what you are doing for them, that for us is communicated both in a slide presentation that a client has to view, and it's also communicated in what we call a product agreement. I will get to that in a little bit. But you could do this just as easily through an email. You could do this through a phone conversation. The point isn't, do it the specific way that we do it. The point is cover these areas. Oh, and by the way, if you happen to want to automate it, then you may want to check out Perfect Landing. But the point is cover these areas. That's it. So first is, what are you doing for them? Second is, what you are not doing for them. Just as important as spelling out what you are doing for them is spelling out what you are not doing for them. Spell out areas where the temptation exists for services creep. For instance, I mentioned this, our product agreement already, but we state in our product agreement, we do not do copywriting outside of the Facebook ads themselves. It's a very clear line in the sand that clients read before we start services. It's very plain. In fact, I pull that line right from our product agreement. We do not do copywriting outside of the Facebook ads themselves. Why? Because back in the day, we didn't make that very clear. And people and clients, I think, had the expectation that we would write their emails, that we would write their landers. It's not that they were bad, evil people. It's that we didn't make it clear. And when it's not clear, people fill in the vacuum with their own information, with their own perspective, with their own thoughts. And that was irresponsible of us to not make it clear. And so we spell out not only what we are doing for them, but more importantly, I think, what we're not doing for them. We also say we do not do any development of landing pages, because clients at one time or another wanted us to go in and make brand new landing pages for them, and it was a disaster. It was a mess. Not because we didn't know how to do it, but because the expectation was that we would do it, and we didn't make it very clear that we would not do it. So we make it very clear, hey, we don't do this. The goal isn't just to say, hey, we don't do anything that's not in the other section of what we will do. The goal is to get clear and prevent services creep. And it's your responsibility to do this. It is not your client's responsibility. This is more important, I believe, than showing what you will do. It provides a reference point. So there's no questions. And the other reason why I like this is because it gives you the ability to break your own rules. So if you just simply spell out, hey, here's what we're going to do, there's a lot of different ways you can interpret that. And there's a lot of different ways your client can interpret that. And chances are very high that you will not interpret what you're going to do in the same way. So if you can add a section that says, hey, here's what we don't do, it allows you to set your boundaries, to set your structure in place. And then, especially when you get a really great client, you can break those boundaries. You can bend those boundaries. So for instance, there's lots of our clients now, after we work with them for quite some time, we'll break our own rules. But we'll be clear to say, hey, we're breaking our rules by doing this, but you know, for the next 30 days, here's what we're going to do. Or for this particular instance, here's what we can do. Because at that point, it becomes more about the relationship. You know, up front, it's about the law. It's about laying down the law. And then when people see what the law is and they experience what the law is and they have an understanding and a familiarity with what the law is, you can bend the laws. And in some cases, you can break your own laws. But you have to have the laws in there to begin with. So first area is what you're going to do for them. Second area is what you're not going to do for them. Third area of clarity you need to have with clients is how you will communicate with them. How do you want your clients to communicate with you? Well, it's real simple. Tell them. Tell them. They want to know. They want to be clear. Listen, clients, at least good clients, they don't want to bother you. They don't want to irritate you. They don't want to annoy you. But if you're not clear, clients can also often have the impression that they're annoying you. And I know this from being a service provider and hiring service providers. The best service providers I've ever worked with are very clear in their communication boundaries. They tell me right up front. And so in turn, I've learned from them. And now we tell our clients right up front, how do we want our clients to communicate with us? What's acceptable? What's not? Are we using asynchronous channels? Are we using real-time channels? Are we using email, Slack, Messenger, text? Are we using a project management tool? Think through this for your client. Don't make them guess. Don't make them wonder. Make clear your channel preferences and your time preferences. I promise you this, clients will follow your lead. They will do what it is that you permit them to do, not because they're bad, evil people. So for instance, we made a policy years ago that personal text messages were not allowed. And we had this after, and again, this is many, many moons ago. We had this after an unfortunate incident of a former client texting one of our team members after hours, let's say. And I realized very quickly, oh, this is not good. This is not good. So we instituted a sweeping policy, no personal text messages with clients, which means that giving out personal phone numbers to clients wasn't acceptable. So that led us to adopting tools like Zoom. It led us to adopting tools like what we use, our project management tool, Teamwork, to keep everything inside approved channels, not only for the client's convenience and safety, but for our team members' convenience and safety. If you must use Some people don't care about this, but there are some instances where phone numbers are still needed, and so we will use Google Voice. And those are just boundaries that we've set up. I'm not saying that those are the right boundaries for you. What I am saying is make sure that whatever it is you choose for your boundaries, you communicate that to your clients. I know a friend of mine who will, who has very strict boundaries in terms of when she communicates with her clients. It's 10 to 4 every single day. If you try and reach her outside of those boundaries as her client, she will not respond and she will not feel bad about it. Not because, because she has made herself very clear in working with clients up front, this is what's expected, this is what is not cool. And if you get a hold of me outside of these hours, I will not respond. I will respond first thing in the morning when my hours pick back up. And I love these boundaries. And you know what? She has not had a single client bail on her because of those boundaries. In fact, most clients will mention something like, "That's really awesome. That's great. That makes it so much easier to know what to expect. Now I know when I can get a hold of you." So if you've not had that conversation with your clients, have that conversation with them today. And you may get some pushback. You may have to make some alterations and exceptions for a little bit with your current clients. But for your new clients, certainly have those boundaries in place and communicate them, those boundaries to them right from the very start. So how you will communicate with them. Fourth area of clarity, outlawed communication channels and times. So this is kind of the part two of what I just stated, but expressly state unacceptable communication methods. Make it very clear. And if the client doesn't follow the boundaries you've set up, just ignore them. This is the example that I was just telling you about. See, most of your clients are good, honest, hardworking people, and they do not want to be a burden to you. But if you don't give them guidance and support at the very beginning, it's your fault if things go haywire. And I'm telling you from experience, this is so much easier to do up front than later. And listen, gang, we've tried every possible combination that you can think of. And what I have found to work best, this is not me being prescriptive. This is me being descriptive. So I'm describing to you what has worked best for us, is to simply say, hey, between these hours and in these channels, get a hold of me whenever you need me. And we've tried, you have to book calls. You have to, get a time on our calendar. You have to do this. You have to jump through that hoop, through this hoop. And when a client feels like they have to jump through hoops to get a hold of you, it creates tension that doesn't need to be there. And so simply put, where we have landed, again, descriptive, not prescriptive, is to simply say, these are the channels that I'm cool with. These are the channels I'm not cool with. These are the hours that I'm good with. These are the hours I'm not good with. Or these are the hours that you probably should not expect a very speedy response for from me. And if you think about it, you know, you're giving them, let's just say it's 10 to 4. Okay, use my friend's example. That's 6 hours of every day. That's a massive amount of time that people can get a hold of you. And that protects you as an entrepreneur, as a business owner. So you're not sitting at home at 11 p.m. at night with clients texting you. I know people like that. Now, if that's your cup of tea, if that's cool with you, if that's something you're comfortable with, great, go for it. I know for me and my business and my team, again, descriptive, not prescriptive, that's not the type of business that I want to build. And so clients, our private clients are very clear on those boundaries. But make sure that you state what will work for you in a communication aspect and what will not. So we have a no messenger policy. And if someone does, what we'll say is, hey, let's take that conversation to teamwork. I don't want to miss any important details. If it happens again, we'll do another reminder. And in fact, this hasn't happened in, now 18 months, but we have fired clients who can't stick to the script. It's not because they're bad people. It's not because they're evil. But how you do anything is how you do everything. If we correct a client, okay. If we correct them again, not as quite as okay, but I can deal with it. If we have to correct a third time, then it's clear to me they're not listening. And if they're not listening, they're not respecting. And if they're not respecting, that's not going to be a good relationship. And so we've had to say goodbye to clients who can't follow the rules. Because we know if they can't keep the rules on a very simple aspect of the relationship, like, hey, don't freaking text me at 11 p.m., then they're not going to do what it is that they're hiring us to do. They're not going to take our advice. They're not going to listen. That's not a great relationship. And last but not least, and I'm kind of already getting to this naturally, but last area of clarity that you need to have with clients is what happens if any of the expectations are not followed on either side? So again, what happens if any expectations are not followed on either side? We teach our clients to use the three-strike rule. I kind of already alluded to this already. Redirect once, correct twice, third time you're out. Why? Again, to repeat, if someone doesn't respect your time, they don't respect you. If someone doesn't respect your time, they don't respect you. And those are clients you don't want to work with. You want to work with people who respect your boundaries, respect your time. And if you're thinking to yourself, that sounds like a pipe dream, I can promise you this. There are plenty of respectful, kind, compassionate clients who will absolutely fall in line with what your expectations are. You simply have to develop them and communicate them. This coming from a guy who, again, many moons ago, was working with clients who were completely and totally out of control. And I thought, I don't know how I do this for the rest of my life. And that is kind of what led to this perfect landing. That's what led to these five areas of clarity. And when we got clear on our communication, when we got clear on our boundaries, guess what happened? Our clients got infinitely better because they knew what to expect and we knew what to expect. For instance, we tell clients that going outside of approved channels consistently is a fireable offense. It's for their protection. See, I don't want time-sensitive information being sent through a channel that's not checked consistently, or worse, goes to one of my personal channels. Because those places aren't where account management happens. You know, you've heard people say, this isn't the right time, this isn't the right place to have that discussion. Same thing here. Okay, DMing me on Twitter is not the place to get account management questions answered. No, not going to work. Messaging me on Facebook, on my personal Facebook page, not where account management happens. Account management happens in the approved channels, in teamwork. That's where it happens. And if it doesn't happen there and something gets missed, that's on the client's side. If it's communicated in teamwork and we miss it, that's on our side. But ultimately, I need to know that anything account related is happening in the approved channels. So you have to spell out the consequences if any of the expectations are not followed on either side. Now, ultimately, and I'll wrap up with this, ultimately, you're doing this not to be power hungry a-hole, but because it sets both you and your client up for success. So you guys can both hit your peaks and be great partners to each other in the long term. In any good relationship, ask anybody who's married, ask anybody who has kids, ask anybody who has a pulse, is in relationship with another person in some way, shape, or form. Good, clear communication is at the foundation of a healthy relationship. Boom. You're welcome. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. I'll be back next week with a brand new rendition of Think Digital. In the meantime, have fun, stay safe, and we'll see you online. If you don't know, now you know. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the show. As an extra thank you, Justin have a special gift just for our podcast listeners to help make your digital business enough more profitable and enjoyable in enough less time. Them your resources is not available nowhere else, so make sure to get them now. All you have to do, I go to thinkdigital.co/gift. That's thinkdigital.co/gift. And download these gifts now. One love.